thinking about how the incredible benefits of the Word of God in our lives. So if you're a Christian and God has given us the Word of God, it's like our food, you know, and we need it. I never skip meals unless I really have to or if I'm fasting, all right? And I don't think you guys do either. I think I know you pretty well. So you're not going to miss that meal. And so we need God's Word. I was just thinking, just want to share with you guys just some real quickly here before we get into the message, some benefits of being in the Word, blessings, if you will. One is that God's Word leads us to salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 talks about Timothy, how he knew the Scriptures from when he was a little boy because of his mother and grandmother shared with him the Word of God. And because of that, it says he knew the Scripture from infancy, which was able to make him wise for salvation. So because of that deposit, if you will, of God's Word in his life as a young child, he put his faith in Christ and became a Christian. And so God's Word leads us, points us in the right direction to salvation in Christ. Another benefit is that God's Word guides our steps. Psalm 119, which is a little trivia here, it's the longest chapter, right, in the Psalms, right, 176 verses. Verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And so what does that tell us? Well, it guides us, right? And so when we're in God's Word, we get direction, right? It's just what a great blessing. A third blessing of being in God's Word is it directs us to wisdom. Psalm 119, again, verse 130 says, "The unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." And so I don't know about you, but I like it just simple. Just give it to me simple. Give it to me straight. And God's Word gives us wisdom. All right? Two more blessings. One is it lifts our burdens. God's Word lifts our burdens. Psalm 119, again, verse 28 says, the psalmist says, "Strengthen me according to your word." And so God's Word gives us strength to tackle whatever is in our path that day. And then God's Word brings joy. Psalm 119, verse 111 says, "Your testimonies are the joy of my heart." And so God's Word brings joy to our heart. And then lastly here, the Scripture gives peace. Psalm 119, verse 165, "Those who love your law have great peace." Isn't that great? So, well, we can all go home now. Wasn't that a great message? So, but I just thought, you know, who doesn't want to be in something that you receive all those blessings from, right? And so I just thought, what better time here of the year as we're getting ready to kind of go into this reading plan in Matthew and then have a sermon series that corresponds to it, but just to talk about how God desires for us to live according to his word. And so let's go ahead to the Lord in prayer here, and then we'll dive into these verses in Psalm 119. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning just asking you for wisdom. We ask you too just for your Holy Spirit to illuminate the Scriptures, to help us to understand them. We ask you help us to apply them to our own situations. Lord, we also just pray for those in our church family that are sick right now. We pray for healing for their bodies. We pray for those that might be struggling just with depression and so on this time of year. And we just pray, Lord, that you would encourage them and that the wind of your Spirit would just blow through their life and encourage them, strengthen them. And Lord, pray that we as a body of believers might also be able to be available to one another, to encourage one another and strengthen each other's faith. And so, Lord, we ask for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, if you're able to, why don't you stand up as we read God's Word? And oftentimes in our services, we will stand for the reading of God's Word, not for my benefit, but out of respect for God's Word. All right? All right, so let me just read this and we'll just go ahead and read it all together, since it's up there on the screen. So read along with me. "Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn, contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Amen. That's God's word. Please have a seat. There's a handout in your bulletin if you want to follow along in that with these different points that we're going to make today as we go through this short passage in Psalm 119. Now, if you've never looked at this psalm before, it's very interesting how it's laid out. There are stanzas, just like, you know, the verses in a song, in a sense, all right? And these verses are grouped together in stanzas. And the one that we're doing, if you look in most Bibles, as well as the printout that I gave you guys with the verses, it says the word gimel, all right? So you might be saying, what's a gimel? You know, where can I get one of those? It's actually the third letter in the Hebrew alphabet is called gimel, all right? And this is the third stanza. And so the way this psalm is laid out, it's really meant to be memorized. There are some great, how would you say it, mnemonic devices, memory aids to help you remember how the lines of the verses go. So this third stanza, right, goes with the third letter in the alphabet of the Hebrew alphabet. So every line begins with the letter gimel. All right, so as a memory aid. So anyway, just FYI, that's why it says gimel there. Now, the other thing that you might have noticed, when we read those verses in Psalm 119, there's a lot of indications there that he's talking to God, right? In fact, if you look there, let me get my Bible turned there. So if you look in those verses there, verses 17 to 24, he says, deal bountifully with your servant, right? And then he talks later about in verse 18, your law, right? And then your commandments. So he's really talking to God. This is it's a prayer, all right? And what's interesting is, and a lot of the Psalms are like this, right? The psalmist is talking, and then he just slips right into prayer, right? You know, it's kind of in and out, talking to God, and that's the way a relationship with God is, you know? And I love this because I think it's just a great example for any person that wants to follow Jesus. As we get into God's word and get into the Bible, we need to be in prayer while we're in the word. In fact, seeing this reminded me of this guy named George Mueller, okay? And how many people have heard of George Mueller before? Okay, some of you. All right, so this guy ran an orphanage in Bristol, England, literally by faith, okay? He's known for his solid prayer life and believing God to provide for the orphans there, okay? I mean, there would be days where they would be sitting down around the table, fully set table with no food, believing that God was going to provide, and they'd hear a knock at the door. I mean, this is no lie. So he's recorded all these answers to prayers, incredible, incredible prayer. But known for his prayer life, but he had some things to say that he learned along the way in his walk with God. And this is encouraging me because I'm thinking this guy, like in Christendom, in terms of just his faith and prayer life, is up here to me. But yet he shares with us an insight that God showed him that helped him in his interaction with God in prayer. So we'll take a look here at what he said. There's a quote here, and so I'll just read it from here. It says, the difference then between my former practice and my present one. So he's going to tell you how he used to spend time with God and how he does now. He says, formerly when I rose, I began to pray as soon as possible. So he went right to prayer first, all right? It says, and generally spent all my time till breakfast in prayer, or almost all the time. Almost all the time. At all events, I most invariably began with prayer. But what was the result? I often spent a quarter of an hour or half an hour, even an hour on my knees before being conscious to myself of having derived comfort, encouragement, humbling of soul, etc., and often having suffered much from wandering of mind. Anybody have a wandering mind in their prayer life? I'm like, that's me, okay? And he says, so wandering of mind for the first 10 minutes or quarter of an hour or even half an hour, I only really began to pray. So he's like really struggling, saying, okay, yeah, I did pray and certainly received great benefit from it. But then he says, after this, he says, I scarcely ever suffer now in this way for my heart being nourished by the truth. Okay, he's getting into the word, all right? And he says, being nourished by the truth, being brought into the fellowship with God, I speak to my father and to my friend about the things that he has brought before me in his precious word. It often now astonishes me that I did not sooner see this point. Here's what he's saying. And this is not, you don't have to do this, but he's using the Bible, using God's word as a springboard into prayer. Okay? He's just getting right into the word, focused in, reading prayerfully, and those things that he reads in the word of God leads him into prayer. It just responds, it gets him to ask God about what he read or pray scripture back to God. So I just thought this was kind of cool because we see the psalmist doing this. We see the psalmist slipping in and out of prayer when he's talking to us about God's word. Okay? So that's George Mueller talking to us about what we see a little bit about here in the Psalms. Okay? So the word of God, reading God's word, and prayer do go together. Okay? It doesn't necessarily mean that they're totally like separate, but they're intertwined too. All right? Now, what are the things that we see here? Well, in the very first verse, looking there at that Psalm 119, verse 17, right, it says, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Well, the first thing here is that he has a prayer of commitment to keep God's word. A prayer of commitment to keep God's word. Now, I don't know where everybody is in this room in their pursuit of a relationship with God or in a relationship with God, but I can tell you this. God wants every follower of Jesus to be one who keeps God's word. What I mean by that is that obedience, obeys God's word. Now, the word obey has kind of fallen out of favor in general, mainly because, probably because of abuses, I suppose, right? When somebody thinks of somebody obeying someone else, it sounds like a power trip, that kind of thing, right? But with God, he calls us to obedience for our good. We can always guarantee that he has our best in mind. So we need not fear, okay? But really, what the psalmist is doing here, and you look at the words, he says, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live. Now, it's important for us to realize that I really think that his life is at stake. this is not just so I can have a great, abundant life. If you read on down in the verses following, he does mention that, you know, he's being scoffed at. The powers that be are coming down on him. He talks about the princes there. And so this really is something that's happening here in his life where he's saying, God, would you save me? And if you do, I want this because I want to keep obeying your word. I want to keep living a life that lives out your word. And this, so he's making a commitment. He's not making a deal with God, you know, and I've done that before. So, okay, God, if you get me out of this jam, I'll do this, right? We've probably done that at different times, each one of us. But what he's really just saying is, I want to keep living because I want to keep living out your word. All right? And so let me just ask you a question. Do you see yourself as someone who puts themselves under the Bible? Okay? Meaning it has authority in my life. It is the authority because it is God's word. Okay? And this is something that's important for everyone to realize as a Christ follower, is the authenticity of the scriptures, right? I would say, I read somewhere recently, this is an acronym, it'd be easy for you to remember. When you talk about the scriptures, the word, the acronym SCAN can help us, helps us remember different aspects about the scriptures. One is just that it's sufficient for us, okay? The sufficiency of scripture. It has everything that we need for life and godliness to follow Christ is in there, right? And then the other one is the clarity of Scripture, that it's clear. We're going to talk about that in the next point, that it's understandable to us, okay? So that's the C in SCAN. And then the A is the authority of Scripture, that to disobey God's word is to disobey God himself because it comes from him, this Scripture, right? And then N is the necessity of the Scripture, which just means we need it for our growth. We need it to come to salvation. God has put out in his creation the ability for us to know that there is a God, Okay, it says that in Romans chapter 1. The knowability of God, that there is a God that exists who's created all this, is out there. We don't need the scriptures for that, but we do need the scriptures and the truth of the gospel to come to faith in Jesus Christ. It's important to get that gospel message. It comes to us through the truth of his word, right? And so we want to get that message out because it's important to the message to be heard, to be received, right? So it's necessary for salvation. It's necessary for growing spiritually too. So what this talks about here is why I want us to mention focusing on the word authority. Scripture is to have authority in the life of the believer. It's true whether somebody believes it or not, okay? Even for someone that's not a Christian. Everything that's in the Bible is true. It doesn't make it false just because they don't believe it, okay? But for the believer, we know it's true, and so we put our lives under it. We want to keep it. We want to live our lives according to God's word. So have you put Scripture, put God's word in that position in your life? That's the question. The psalmist saying, I want to live according to your word, right? So when you live a life according to God's word, then you ask questions all the time, like, I wonder what God would have to say about my situation. I wonder what God would have me do in my marriage relationship. I wonder what it looks like to forgive. And all these things, because the Bible speaks to each and every one of those things and much more, okay? And so we give the authority of the Scripture its proper place in our lives. And so I just challenge each and every one of us, myself included, to maybe recommit our lives to following what God says, okay? To following what God says. That's important. In fact, it really is the attitude of a servant. We are servants of God, right? And so, in a sense, what does a servant do? A servant does whatever the person that's in charge of them asks them to do, right? And isn't that what the psalmist calls themselves? He says, deal bountifully with your servant. That's what he says. So as a Christian, we are servants of God. So therefore, we want to do what he says. Okay? All right. So now just to make this real clear, that Jesus was very clear on this too. That he expects followers of Jesus to do what he says, right? Matthew 28, if you want to turn there with me in your Bible or on your device here, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. So we're talking the very end of Matthew, right? So by the time we're done with our study in Matthew, we'll eventually end up here, okay? These last words of Jesus recorded in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, known as, in some circles, as the Great Commission, right? Where Jesus is commissioning his disciples, sending them out on mission. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And listen to this, verse 20. This is the kicker here for us. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So someone that's going to consider themselves a disciple, we don't use that word often today, but a disciple is just a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's what a Christian is to be, a follower of Jesus, right? So if I'm a follower of Jesus, then I'm going to want to know what Jesus taught, and I'm going to want to do it, okay? And by extension, right, what the entire Scripture says, right? So we need to be people of the book, if you will, and people who not only know the book, but are seeking to do the book, okay? Does that make sense? So a prayer of commitment to keep God's word. So what's next in the passage here? Oh, I've got a quote here. Sorry. J.C. Ryle, got all these old dead guys. Sorry. That's all I know. Anyway, J.C. Ryle says, obedience is the only reality. It is a faith visible, faith acting, and faith manifest. It is the test of real discipleship among the Lord's people. If we are living the way Christ wants us to, it should be no surprise for someone at work to know that you're a Christian. Does that make sense? It should not be a surprise. Okay? If it is a surprise, then maybe we've got a challenge there, don't we? Right? Okay. So, this next point, a prayer of understanding for God's word. And there's a connection here between these verses. The first verse where he says, Lord, I'm committing to obey you. I'm committing to keep your word. And now, in these next couple of verses, right, verses 18 and 19, let's remind ourselves what those said. He said, in verse 18, again, it's a prayer. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And then he says, I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. So if that first prayer is a commitment to keep God's word, it's like putting a stake down, putting a line, say, God, I'm going to follow you. I received Christ as my Savior. I'm a Christian now. I want to follow Jesus. I want to do what he says, right? But now I've got to like, okay, so teach me, God. Help me understand what I'm reading, right? And so this is really what the psalmist is praying here, and we need to pray for that understanding too, all right? I want to stay here for a second on this idea of the clarity. Remember I told you that acronym SCAN, right? On this idea of clarity of Scripture. Somebody made up a word. Not made up a word. There's a word for this which isn't clear. Perspicuity of Scripture. Anybody ever heard that? Perspicuity. I don't even say that. It sounds like perspiration. The perspicuity. It's a word that really means the clarity, which is ironic, all right, to us, because we don't use that word every day, but it's the clarity of Scripture. Now, here's what we mean by the clarity of Scripture. The idea, this is from Wayne Grudem, the idea that the Bible is written in such a way that its teachings are able to be understood by all who read it, seeking God's help and are willing to follow it, okay? So, now I want to speak to this for a few minutes because, you know what? Where we are in history now and in our culture, sometimes if you say with confidence what God's word says, somebody's going to say, well, how do you know that? I've got five other people that'll say five other things about the same passage. I don't think you could really know what the Bible says. It's a mystery. Okay, so this is I'm just saying, this is, be real, this is what you're going to find if you haven't encountered yourself, or maybe yourself have questioned this, okay? And so I just want to speak to that for a second here, that the Bible, the Scriptures, are knowable. They are understandable, okay? And so let me just take a look at a couple of verses themselves to just dive into this for a minute, okay? So let's take up that argument and talk about that, this pluralism objection, you know, that there's many ways to understand all these things, and nobody could ever know what it really means. Okay, so I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, okay, in the Old Testament. And if you're finding your way there, let me just mention to you something. The first 30 chapters in Deuteronomy are like a long sermon. All right, so you're like, wow, glad that Pastor Greg doesn't go that long, you know. But 30 chapters of kind of a long sermon and instructions, and it's a recommitment to the covenant. The law, the Ten Commandments, and all those extensions of that, it's a recommitment of the people of God to follow God, okay? They're right on the edge of going into the Promised Land, and then we enter into this chapter, this ending of this sermon, if you will, and let's listen in on the conclusion to the sermon, all right? So this is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. Remember, we're trying to zero in on the clarity of Scripture, and is it knowable? To, you know, is it really understandable? So he says, "For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it too far off. Neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who shall ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go out over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?'" Verse 14, now listen. "But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it." Did you get that? Does that sound like the word of God is like unknowable and not doable? No. God's saying, listen, this is not far from you, guys. This is not above you. You can get this. And you can do this, okay? And so, you know, by God's grace, we could do it, right? And by the way, as we're talking about obedience and everything, God knows we're not going to perfectly obey him. Okay? He knows this. That's why we need God's grace. Okay? We receive God's grace and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, right? By putting our faith in him, that knowing that he died on the cross for our sins. We needed that forgiveness, right? So once a person puts their faith in Jesus, right, and they become a Christian, and they're receiving God's grace, right, and his forgiveness constantly, all right? So, but now we seek to please God as followers of Jesus, not to merit or gain any good favor from him by doing so, but because we know it pleases the one whom we love, we want to do it, right? We want to obey, okay? So now he's saying, listen, in these verses here, you can know the word of God and you can do it by my grace. We can. And so, actually, if you look back at verse, back up one verse from where we started, go to 29:29. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to our God. So somebody might say, oh, there you go. These are secret things. Nobody can know them. Well, you got to keep reading on, right? Because it says, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. So he's saying, yeah, there are some things that we're never going to know. Those are the secret things, right, of God. But there are plenty of things he's revealed right here in the scriptures. And not only are we supposed to know them and understand them, but we're supposed to pass them on to our children, which means we it's understandable to us and we can make it understandable to them. Okay? So, one last thing here about this idea of it really, the Bible really is understandable. The scriptures use that metaphor of light when it talks about the word. We hit on a couple of verses when I just opened up the message today in Psalm 119. You look at Psalm 119, verse 105 that we mentioned before, and it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path, right? So if the scripture is not understandable, why would he say that? He's saying it's a light to my path. It actually shows me what to do, okay? That would be a total contradiction for God to say this and then it not be clear or understandable, all right? Another use of that that light we mentioned too was in verse 130, right? He says, the unfolding of your word gives light and imparts understanding to the simple. Well, if God's word imparts understanding to the simple, then how can it be unclear? You see what I'm saying? Okay, so, I mean, let's think this idea that the word of God and what it says and its meaning is not knowable is just a total hogwash, okay? Yes, there are difficult parts of the scriptures to understand. Yes, there are. Peter even tells us that some of the writings of Paul are difficult to understand, okay? But it doesn't mean they're not understandable totally. There are harder parts. Some parts are harder to understand than others. But on the whole, it's not hard to understand, okay? And this is important for us to get. One last thing about this clarity, all right? Because I'm really spending a lot of time on this because I feel like this is where we live. We live in a society that says you really can't know anything for sure. And I say, no, that's not true. You can know the Bible is true. You can know what it says. It's not just open to whatever you want, okay? So just think about this. If Scripture is not clear and knowable, what point is there in God giving us promises if we can't understand them, right? Or what point is there in him in giving us warnings if we can't understand the warnings? It's ludicrous, okay? I mean, it just doesn't make sense, okay? So the psalmist is praying, Lord, open my eyes so I can understand. So we do need the Holy Spirit's help, right? Almost every message I ever give, I always pray for the Holy Spirit to help us to understand it because we need his help. We need his help, okay? We use the logic that God gives us about how sentences are constructed, how paragraphs are put together. You know, God's no dummy. He communicated the Bible to us in a way that we understand. Sentences, words, paragraphs, right? Okay? And so we use that way of knowing how to read things. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, we also understand what the spiritual implications are on our life. It's not just, you know, the information. It's the transformation that the Word of God brings, okay? All right, so hopefully that if you were doubting the clarity of Scripture, or the you know, that you maybe been challenged a little bit, or maybe you might be more equipped to really know and have a confidence that yes, there are hard parts of Scripture, but so much of it is truly understandable. But we do have to study. Okay, we do have to study. All right, I can't just sit there on bed at night, put my Bible under my pillow and say, Lord, give me understanding. Help me get to know the Bible. No, I have to study it, okay? We have to put forth effort, plus the Holy Spirit's help, okay? All right, so this is important for us to understand. All right, third point here. We really have an expression of a passion for God's Word. In this next verse, verse 20 in Psalm 119, where he says, my soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. This concept of longing for something, that's a desire, right? And so what he's saying is, God, I love your word. Yeah, I want to know it. I want to understand it. And I commit to do it. But I want to, like, do it with all my heart. Right, I want to have a passion for it. I want to long for it, right? And he does long for it. And so I just, to me, this was just a challenge, okay? When I see that I make a commitment to follow God and obey his word, and I pray for understanding, and then I say, I need to pray also for a heart for it. Because let's just be honest, right? Sometimes we feel like it, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we feel like reading the word of God, and sometimes we don't. And I can guarantee, as we as a church body go through this reading plan in Matthew, you're going to come on one of those days, multiple days during this. There's like 192 days in the reading plan, okay? And you're going to say, well, that was great, but I don't see any application for my life, okay, right now. Maybe at another time, okay? Or that's great, but I already knew that, you know? Well, you know, I think what we run into is a lie that we believe. And that is that there has to be one thing that we get out of every day we're there, okay? Because just the fact that we're in it is healthy for us as believers, okay? And the goal is Christ-likeness over time, okay? And so we live in an age where we just kind of, I want it now. I want instant growth. I want to know, give me that point, God, that I need to live for today, right? And we move on. But you know what? That thing that you read on Monday might be the thing that you need on Friday, or next month, okay? So it's not wasted time, okay? But I think the enemy of our souls, the devil, loves for us to believe, but because we're not feeling it, that it's not doing us any good. And that's just wrong, okay? So if we lack the passion for God's word, don't give up. Pray for help. Pray for help. That's the best thing to do. Ask God for a heart for his word, okay? Well, then we have a prayer for protection. Verses 21 to 23. This is interesting. So you have the psalmist. He's saying, God, I want to obey your word, right? And then he's saying, give me understanding, right? Give me understanding for it. And then he's saying, give me a heart for it, that passion. And as he's living out his life and obeying God, guess what's going to happen? Opposition. Opposition. And so we see there in these verses 21 to 23, he says, you, and he's talking to God, you rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Now, I mean, this is just fascinating to me, and we need to get this. If you're a serious Christ follower, and I hope you are, a person who wants to obey God and not only learn information, but put it into practice as God wants us to do, then you will get opposition. Some people will not like the fact that you are living your life according to the word of God, okay? Because let me tell you what, when we live our lives according to the scriptures, it gets public. And everybody seems to be fine about if we do whatever we want in our little house of worship here. But you go take it to the streets, they're going to have a problem, okay? And that's going to happen. That's going to happen. If it's not happening already in your life, when you live your life, it's not. You don't even have to look for it. You don't have to try to be, you know, to be a stumbling block for somebody. But if you live your life out for Christ, right, and you're going to talk about him, and you're going to talk about what he's done, and talk about what he's done for others, and you're going to live your life according to his word, that's going to smack against people that hate God's word, because that's who he's talking about here. Those that have wandered from it. That's what he says, right? He says, you rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. There are people that just hate the fact that somebody would live, actually take seriously the commands of Christ and live them out, because it might have implications on their life, okay? And so that we need to realize this. So in other words, we should not be surprised, right? And we even see the psalmist saying that some of his pushback was coming from the highest powers in society. Okay? So, because he says there, he talks about the princes, right? Even though, verse 23, even though princes sit plotting against me, okay? We're talking the powers that be, the people in society that sit up, and whether they make the laws or they're enforcers or whatever, they're coming down on him. And it says it's all because he was keeping God's word. Okay, so I'm not a doomsdayer. I'm just saying this is the reality. As we live out our life loving others and loving God, as we live out his truth, we're going to get pushback. We're going to get opposition. Okay? And I think what we should be praying, if we get that, is, Lord, you deal with these people. That's what we say. We don't take revenge. We don't do any of that. We say, Lord, you deal with them. You take care of them. You know what's right. You know what's in my heart. And so we just need to be determined to stick with the word of God, to stick with him, okay? You can never go wrong with doing what God says, okay? Bad things might happen because of that, because, you know, we can't determine what the reactions are going to be, but we have to live God's word out regardless of the consequences, okay? And this is not popular. This does not, what we're saying here today from the word of God does not sell books, you know? Come, sign up and be offensive, right? Live a life that people will rebuff and hate, okay? I mean, Jesus said, if he was hated, we'll be hated. And he was hated, guys. Okay, he was. He really was. So, lastly, landing the plane here. There's an expression of receiving comfort from God's word. I love this because, you know, you get the person makes a commitment to live for God, to obey God's word, and then there's the prayer for understanding, the prayer to have a heart to do it, right? And then realizing that some people are going to come against you, you need comfort. You're going to need strength, right? Where's that going to come? From the word of God, ironically, right? And so this is what he says in verse 24. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. You go to God. This stuff is going on. This opposition you get as you're living your life out, and you make, there are hard things you have to do for Jesus. There are difficult. I don't know one Christian who got serious about their faith that wasn't faced with some very difficult decisions in their life to stand up for the Lord, to do something for the Lord, to hold fast to the word of God. Okay? It's going to come. All right? But let's take a look at some of these other verses in Psalm 119. Verse 50. We're looking at the comfort of God's word. Psalm 119, verse 50 says, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. That's the word of God, the promises of God, right? Verse 50 there, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. So we get a hold of God's promises in his word. We cling to them. We hang on to them. It's our comfort in difficult times. And then in verse 92, of Psalm 119. He says, if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. So he's flipping it around. See, if I hadn't loved God's word and hid it in my heart, I would have died. You know? And so he's just reinforcing the comfort that God's word gives. And then lastly, Psalm 143. Psalm 143 says, Psalm 119, 143. Trouble and anguish have found me out. You ever feel like that? Man, they came. Trouble just came and found me. I wasn't looking for it. but it came and found me. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. So in other words, in light of that, so trouble's going to come, but he's saying, you know what? I take delight in your commandments. They're going to help me. In it, through it, whatever it is, God's word is our counselor. It's supposed to be our comfort, our delight, okay? And so this is what we need. If we want to, you know, the title of the message today, Living by God's Word. If we want to live life by God's Word, which he does call us to do as Christians, this little stanza, and there are many other stanzas in Psalm 119 that say many other things about God's Word, but this stanza right here stands for us as a great model. Prayers for us to be praying. Heart attitudes that we should ask God, give me that, okay? So let's go to the Lord right now and ask him for that. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning once again and ask you that maybe some of us today for the very first time have really been challenged to put God's word into practice, to really be one who keeps your word, who does it, who obeys it. And Lord, I just pray that you would strengthen every heart here today that knows you as Savior to be a heart that makes that commitment to sit under the authority of the Scriptures and let the Scriptures show us how to live. And Father, we all pray here also for understanding as we spend daily time in your word, and give us a heart to do it. Let it not be burdensome to us, but God, just give us a joy in spending time with you. And Lord, as we seek to do your will and carry it out, and we don't seek to be an offense to people, but as we do follow you, Lord, protect us, Lord, from those that might want to do us harm because of our desire to do what's pleasing to you rather than what's pleasing to men. And lastly, Lord, we just pray anyone here that is having a really difficult time right now, that they would find comfort and receive comfort from your promises and from your word, Lord. May this be a year starting tomorrow where we are maybe revived in our desire for your word. Lord, we pray that you bless our church as we embark on this study in Matthew here in this year, God. Let us know Jesus like we've never known him. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.